Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen from My Broadband.
Jan Vermeulen, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I've really missed our talks.
Yes, it's been weird not speaking to you every week.
I know. Well, I'm happy that we were able to actually sort it out this week. All right, can we please talk about Renault creating a smart island in France? Why? Is it smart people, smart? What is going to be smart?
Yeah, so this is these typical IoT projects, and not that different from the kinds of projects that Elon Musk was taking on with Tesla, trying to move whole islands off the grid using purely solar power and their Tesla Powerwall batteries, sort of like a way to prove a point where you go, we are going to roll out this technology to kind of use this as a showcase for what we can do. And so it's as much a service to the community as it is a advertisement for the technology that these companies develop.
Very interesting. Jan, can we talk a little bit about DStv? They are ending their mobile service. What does that mean? I didn't even know if they had a mobile service. Did you?
Yeah. So this is an interesting one. A lot of people don't know that they had this mobile service, and they had the Drifter and the Walker and all that stuff. It ran on a standard called DVB-H. It was around 50 rand a month. And what made this service quite compelling is it was a pretty affordable way to get your hands on SuperSport 1. Other than a DStv premium subscription, the trick is you had to be within the range of a DVB-H tower. It's not the same as satellite. DStv's satellite signal covers just about the whole country unless you're in the shadow of a mountain. But for DVB-H, that's almost like a cellular network. It's like a normal terrestrial radio network, like the kinds that this radio signal is beamed out with, or wow, that a normal TV signal that you catch with an antenna is beamed out with. And so DVB-H wasn't available everywhere, so you couldn't get it anywhere in the country. But if you did, if you could get it, and you couldn't afford the now 800, 900 rand a month for DStv Premium, you could pay 50 rand a month instead, and arguably at a much lower resolution. But still, you could get SuperSport 1. So it was a pretty interesting service. But ultimately, the tribe has spoken. They want big screen TVs, or at least bigger screen TVs than watching DStv on a tablet or smartphone with a DStv Drifter or something similar.
All right. So in your professional opinion, is that a good move or a bad move? Because the whole thing about tablets and phones is it makes it more accessible.
Right.
Which means that your viewership
goes up. It's purely got to do with the kind of service that DStv Mobile was. What DStv is working on is a streaming service. They're busy working on a streaming-only kind of package in the background, to try and compete with Netflix. It's something that they've been hatching for quite some time, and have been getting ready for the right moment. And that moment has arrived, I think. But the big issue is that it needs to be on demand. So a linear TV service is cool. You can have that with your mobile service. But when people are mobile, they tend to want on demand, I think. And so, yes, ultimately, I think it's a good idea to get rid of dead weight like DStv Mobile, and rather focus on a streaming service that can give on demand features, so that you can, you know, catch up series that you've missed, or watch box sets, or, you know, anything like that. But like anything that's like that's like a Netflix competitor with maybe an extra live service.
They clearly need included. To do something, because apparently they've lost 100,000 premium subscribers. Is that true, or is that number exaggerated?
No, that's true. That's a number that MultiChoice is reporting in its results. So they've grown. They've had a net increase in subscribers, but those subscribers come on the bottom end. They come in DStv Access and the lower end packages, which aren't nearly as profitable as DStv Premium. But yes, your point stands.
The mind boggles at the decision makers there. It just boggles. Like, you know, they're going to have to give you choice. They're just going to have to.
Yeah, and I think that they're holding on, they're holding out as long as they can. But I wonder if that isn't a mistake. Like, take a hard look at the business model, there's some merit to the statements that DStv makes about the fact that they are trying to sort of balance the best of both worlds to avoid stuff costing too much. So when they ultimately spin out SuperSport from DStv Premium and offer it as a standalone package, and then have a premium entertainment package as a standalone package, I think folks will see this. The sports package will be pretty expensive. I don't actually want to say a number out loud, because just now they listen to this and they go, cool, well, that's what we'll set the price at, because Jan said so.
No, it's a really interesting question.
Yeah, you and Elon Musk.
Somebody said to me, what would you be prepared to pay for each channel that you wanted? And it's a very difficult question to answer.
Yes, we run surveys like that on my broadband frequently, and people's answers are very, very interesting. Certainly, they are willing to pay much less than DStv needs to charge, I think, for it to be sustainable. And that, I think, is MultiChoice's core problem.
And yet, if they had made it cheaper, more people would do it.
I doubt it, because really? maybe if they... when they were the only game in town, that might have been true. But now you have so much choice, including from its own stable. It's got Showmax, but yeah, Netflix is just a beast of a competitor. And then of course, Silent, but there Amazon, who had a pretty extensive showing at Comic-Con Africa. Like 2 weeks ago or so, where they brought I think three of their actors out to come and meet the massive South African audience that was gathered there. Hmm. And that's an Amazon Prime show, American Gods. There's that dark horse as well that MultiChoice is up against. So I'd like to think. You know, that you can decrease the price and increase the volume, and it's a fairly simple equation. I'm not so sure anymore, because the price has been undercut so tremendously. Even Netflix, which is actually pretty expensive compared to some of the other streaming services available, is like 170 Rand a month. That's a fraction of your DStv Premium subscription, and all you have to do is give up sports and one or two of the big HBO shows and other networks that MultiChoice brings in, which a lot of people are electing to do.
Yeah, and between Netflix and Showmax, who's winning the race? Do we know?
Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. No one is talking about their numbers. Netflix is just a beast.
What does your research show the threshold as being? What are people prepared to pay for a channel?
For a channel? Well, now that's an interesting one. For a channel, if you consider Netflix a channel, then anything from 130 Rand to, I'd say, 200 Rand a month, because Netflix has this weird scaling thing, right? So they let you buy either an SD option or an HD option or an Ultra HD option, and they're kind of toying with different things in different markets. Then you've got Amazon Prime, which has which is $6 a month. For the first 6 months, they charge you $3. They still charge you in dollar. Netflix has switched to Rand now. If the channel's content is compelling enough, like that, and that's it, if you consider Netflix a channel, then it's almost 130 Rand per, depending on the content available on it. So when you start making that calculation, then all of a sudden things look a bit different. So like if you consider that HBO and CBS in the United States charge, I think, about $15 a month for their on-demand services. So if you start adding those $15 a month up, your DStv subscription looks pretty affordable by comparison.
It's not really comparing apples with apples.
Not by a shot.
No, it's not. But that's sort of the only comparison we have at the moment.
Yeah.
We either have a bundled a bundled service that's sort of linear focused, like we have with a broadcaster like DSTV and other stuff in the world, or you've got this like heavily unbundled, fragmented system. But what it does give people is granular control over what they pay for, which is what people, at least that's what South Africans on our forum are saying that they want. They say, hey, listen, let me drop some of the channels from my package so that I can pay less. And obviously MultiChoice says it's not that simple an equation. You might actually end up paying more for less. But by and large, that kind of fine-grained control is what people are saying that they want. It's what they're saying they want when they choose video on demand over linear broadcast. And certainly, you can now choose. We have three on-demand, at least three lean-back on-demand services in South Africa, Netflix, Showmax, Amazon Prime Video, and you can chop and change them month to month. You can be like, okay, this month I'm going to binge American Gods. Okay, I'm done with Amazon Prime. I'll wait for the next season of my show to come on. I'm going to switch to Netflix. Okay, I'm done with Netflix. I'm going to go to Showmax and so on. So, if you want to have that fine-grained administrative control over your video entertainment, then this is the model that offers it.
Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large at MyBroadband. That's where we leave it today. Thank you very, very much. I could just talk to you for hours and hours and hours.
Thank you so much, and you too. Have a great week.
Thanks, Jan. God bless.